And hey, everybody, my name is Danny Dumas, and this is the Earn Your Title podcast. I have my friend Chris. Chris, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris Warden. I'm a full-time firefighter and husband, no kids, two dogs. And we're just making our way through this fire service career and trying to, you know, keep a good work-life balance.
Yeah. So the reason I had you on here, and we'll get more into your backstory and your history and, you know, probably talk about your dogs at some point. As a 43-year-old man, and I've been blessed with good health. I haven't been sick, but I understand that it is hard to stay healthy. And there is so much information in this world about what it means to be healthy. And how do you do that? How do you get strong? You know, do I need to do CrossFit? Do I need to run a marathon? Do I need to, you know, go vegan? Like all this stuff. And I feel like you have a very good handle on what a holistic approach is. You know, I looked on your website and you have a podcast as well. And you talk a lot about mindfulness. And I think that's just as important. We think about, you know, lifting weights, but if your mind's not right. So if you could just kind of give me in general, where does a middle-aged man like me, where do I start to fix the problem of what do I do? What is, you know, that's my question. What do I do to start becoming a healthy person?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with the where to start, right? Like for me, I didn't always have a really good plan. I had some fitness background. So I was capable of getting into a gym. I liked training, doing squats, doing deadlifts. That the physical aspect for me was pretty easy. But there's a handful of other aspects that we don't really focus on, like emotional, you know, financial health, occupational health. Is this the right job for me? Spiritual health. There's a handful. Some may say six, some may seven, eight, maybe 10 or 12 aspects that we can really start to address. But what I would personally say, and from my experience, the biggest place to start to look and to figure out where to start is exactly right where you're at, right? Like you don't have to change anything today. You don't have to overhaul everything, but understanding where you're at currently and where you hope to be, either in the next month, next year, 5 years, but you kind of have to start seeing the future.
Right. Would you tell me to avoid trying to change everything drastically? Like tomorrow I'm going to work out. I'm going to eat right. You think that's bad?
I think, I don't like to speak in generalities of good and bad, but will that be sustainable? Probably not. If let's just say you want to get healthy and you define that as being more fit, eating better, sleeping better, spending more time with your wife, and let's say you have five or six other things on that list that qualify as what you determine to be healthier or more fulfilled in life, trying to tackle all of those on the same day will likely prove ineffective and you'll get overwhelmed. You won't be able to sustain that movement in that direction because there's so many directions there. And if it's a new habit, it's not going to take hold like you imagine it would.
Right. Do you think of all the things we could focus on, is there something that is easy that gives you the best results that most guys are missing? Like, is there the one thing, hey, if I don't know you, obviously you'd want to sit down and like write it all out. But in general, and guy, you know, you're like me. I've worked with probably 300 men in my career, maybe 400, and I see problems. So like, you know, maybe it's in the relationship. Based on your knowledge of general where guys are, what would you say is the first thing if you're going to tackle something in general to be a healthier, happier person? What would you think that first thing would be?
So there's a couple things, and for me personally, fitness pops up, but I know that's that kind of mind
for me. What would you think that's
not typically the easiest direction to go? So there's a couple things come to mind. The low hanging fruit that come to mind for me, and for me personally, fitness pops up, but I know that's not standard. That's not typically the easiest direction to go for everybody.
Right.
But something that we all have in common that we all need and participate in regularly, and when I say regularly, I mean every single day, is sleep. And this is my perspective and my opinion. I would say that sleep is the lowest hanging fruit. We're already trying to get some of it every day
Right.
as it is. If we could prioritize sleep and ensure that we're getting 7 to 9, and there's a sweet spot in there for everybody. Maybe it's 6.5, maybe it's 8.5. And guys like myself and you who don't get a lot on our shift nights, we can maybe get a little extra. Maybe you only get 4 or 5 at work and you get 8, 9, or 10 some nights at
Gotcha.
home. I
Give me,
think
yeah, give
that's
me
the
an
good
action item.
spot.
How do I do that? Because it's kind of like, yeah, I know I should do this. What can I do? Give me an action to take that helps me get more sleep.
So something that we can start doing to get more sleep is define. We have to start. We have to take an assessment of our day, right? From the time we wake up to the time we normally go to bed. So again, looking at where we're at currently, what does our current schedule look like, right? Let's say we get up at 6:30. We take care of the kids. We do, and then by the end of the day, and let's just say you're at home, you're not at work,
Right.
right? Is an off day. When do you go to bed? So when do you? Let's take you for example. What time do you go to sleep normally? And if you don't have a normal,
Would say between 10 and 11. So I'm like
okay.
10 to 11 kind of guy.
And then what time does that put you up?
Six.
Okay,
Almost
so
every
you're
day I don't go to work. When I go to work, it's six. If I don't go to work, maybe 6:37, depending on if it's
okay.
school day. So I would say six, pretty average.
Okay. So 10 to 11, right? That's a good window. Out of 7 nights, let's say 2 to 3 of those you're at work.
Right.
How many of those nights are you getting to bed at 11 o'clock?
Half.
Half. So we're shooting 50%. Our goal would be to get to bed at that time within 30 to 60 minutes, like either 10 or 11. Typically 10:30 would be our target every night that we can,
Right.
especially when we're at home and we can control that. So that I would prioritize controlling your going to bedtime and your waking up time.
Right,
And get that
which
in
means
a
you
cycle.
actually have to make it important. Like
Right. Yep.
you can't, it's more important than the show, the name, the thing.
Right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What about some practical things you can do, like in your house, in your environment? Because some people can say, oh, I can lay down. If I always go to bed at 11, I'm trying to go to bed early at 10:30, 10, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm going to lay there. Are there any
Right.
things that we can do to make that happen where you actually fall asleep and make that happen?
Sure. There's a lot of research out right now that says we can put away our devices. We can get away from that blue light, right? So there's anecdotal evidence. I know it helps me, but I haven't seen much research on whether or not the blue blocking glasses
Gotcha.
actually help. But we can start taking steps to mitigate the effects that light has on our eyes,
Right.
right? Two things. Put the phone down about 2 hours before you go to bed. Right? Stop staring at a screen, a monitor, no video games, no TV, no movies, and no phone about 2 hours before you go to bed. Maybe an hour if you're like,
Right.
if you got things under control. Right? We can do that. We can also stop eating, 3 to 4 hours before we try to go to bed. If we stare at our phone and have dinner and try to go to bed within the same hour, our chances of falling asleep are going to be limited.
Gotcha.
Right, so we're not setting ourselves up for success. And what we're kind of discussing is a routine,
Right.
right? So we're talking about a nightly routine that starts at some point, and for many it would start at dinner.
Right.
Like mine is dinner, dishes, coffee, either on the couch or outside with the dogs.
Right.
And then at about 8:30, I'm in bed by 9:30, we're moving away from the TV or we're doing like a guided yoga session that's calming us down. 9 o'clock, we're brushing our teeth. I'm in the bed by 9:15. The lights are completely off at 9:30. For us, my wife and I, that seems to work. I'm falling asleep within 5 to 10 minutes of laying down. And then I'm waking up at 5 a.m. typically every day.
Cool.
So I would say prioritizing sleep
Right.
and looking into what that looks like for you. How do you prioritize your sleep? And what are you doing to remove the barriers that prevent good sleep.
Cool. So we've got sleep. That's a good start for everybody. What would you say the next thing is that you would work on, lower, maybe a little bit higher hanging fruit to your health game?
Yeah. You know, to start up in our health game, we can really, you know, start two things. Obviously, pay attention to nutrition, right? We've got sleep covered. So we can look at physical activity and nutrition.
All right.
Those are, again, pretty basic barriers, but not for everybody. That could be really hard for someone. They could have a disability. They might not, know what to do. They might be financially not have access to either a gym or physical training equipment. So there's nutrition, right? And
let's,
again, there's,
yeah, let's hit that nutrition. What, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
In general, what is a good guideline? Like what should, you know, is it, do I count my calories? Do I,
sure,
you know, do I portion control? Do I intermittent fast? What is your take currently on just in general, try to do this thing every day or these things every day, and this is good nutrition?
Oh man. So
that's like asking, you know,
that's a loaded question for sure.
Yeah. Who the best basketball team in the world is, you know, that's going to be a lot, but in your, you know, as a professional, which you are,
yeah.
What do you think?
As someone who prides themselves on staying fit and getting sleep and being prepared to perform at work, I would say hydrating regularly is mm-hmm. going to be, that's going to fall in under nutrition, but it's going to be the basic.
Right? You have a basic formula, half gallon.
So take your body weight, right? If you weigh 200 pounds, cut it in half. That's 100 pounds.
Right.
And say that's ounces. And that's generally how many ounces we should consume of water a day.
Right.
But that's not taking into account vegetables
right.
or fruit. And then at work, if you're going to go work and perform on like a fire scene,
right.
now we have to make up for that lost sweat, right? So you have to balance it. I try and drink three of these things.
Okay.
They are 1,000 milliliters per, so 3,000 milliliters a day, between 3 and 4,000.
Gotcha. But
about 100 ounces of water a day for me is where I need to be.
Yeah.
And I add salt solutions to my stuff. That way I'm, you know, double checking everything, make sure we're good.
And just, you know, clean pee and, you know, just making sure you're good to go. Like I did a challenge for 75 days. I drink a gallon of water.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Sure.
I need a gallon of water most days. For me, about 80 ounces, I feel hydrated if I'm not mm-hmm. doing anything. Then if I am active, physically active, worked out that day, that 100 ounces for me is pretty good.
Perfect.
You mentioned being ready to perform. Mm-hmm. Like for us, we know what that means. It's going to be putting right. gear on, going inside of a burning building. It's going to be hot, sweaty. In general, for men, do you think it's important that men, you know, husbands or fathers, that they actually think of what they're supposed to do as being able to perform? Like, can you go to the park and chase your kids around for an hour?
Right.
Do you think they should train for that? Or do you think if it's not, you know, life or death, that they can just work out? It doesn't matter exactly if they're training for something. Cause like me and you, I want to be able to go all out for 20 minutes.
Sure.
I pick 20 minutes because the air in my bottle is going to run out in about 20 minutes.
Yep. But
then I'm going to get a break or die. Right.
Yeah.
I get to come out or I messed up and I didn't come out. So that 20 minute mark is pretty important for me. What are your thoughts on the general populace working out, just randomly doing something or actually training?
So I think to take one step back for a moment is, you know, if part of your, let's say, wellness plan is to be more involved in your children's lives, and that includes going to the park and playing, going on bike rides, chasing them around, playing airsoft, doing whatever it is that you Right. do with a child of the age that you have, that kind of falls into your why. Like, why do you want to get fit? What do you value in life? What are your priorities? So that being said, I think fitness for all of us is life or death, right? Without fitness, without proper nutrition, without sunlight and exercise, we're slowly going the wrong way.
Right.
We're extending the opportunity for chronic disease to show up. We're not really fighting against what life is throwing at us. But when you're fit, you're choosing to become more active, get up, go for a run, go for a walk, go for a bike, stretch a couple times. Now you're like, well, man, I really want to go play with Johnny in the park. So maybe I should get up and walk around the subdivision twice today. And that'll, before you know it, the momentum will be there.
Right.
Right. And I think you really have to, as a man, establish why you want to do anything.
Right.
And if you're not sure why you want to work out, look next to you and see your wife or your children or your partner and say, maybe I should do it for them. If you can't do it for yourself anyhow.
Right.
Right.
No, that's huge. I think as a father, you would say something like, I would die for my kids. And I truly, right. I was actually just talking to somebody about when Levi, my oldest, was born. I had this feeling of I would tear someone's face off. And I'm holding this little calm baby. He's right. sleeping. And it like came over, like it was deep down inside. I would be violent to destroy somebody that would try to do this. But then sometimes I've been on my phone and my five-year-old comes up, Dad, come play with me. Hang on. I'm doing something important. I was looking at cat videos.
Right.
My priorities didn't line up with what was true. She is way more important than whatever it was that I was looking at my phone, but I was tired and maybe I didn't get enough sleep. So I didn't have the mental energy to go play Barbies. Right.
Sure. Sure.
That's huge. Yeah. I think, being honest with yourself, am I truly living up to my priorities? Is my why? Am I living it out? Mm. That's tough, but important, but super important.
Yeah, and that starts to determine the actions we take every day.
Right.
Right. So when we can identify the roles we play in other people's lives, right? So how well are you fulfilling that dad role?
Right.
How well are you fulfilling the brother role or the father role or the firefighter role or the husband role?
Right.
Right. We have to define those, right? We have to know what that looks like. And then we have to start taking small actions, going to bed early,
right.
eating better food, getting fit, right? We can't just sit around and melt into the couch every day. Sure. If you're on day 7 of a training cycle and you are just beat, go for a walk, stretch out, take a nap. There's nothing right. wrong with balance.
Right.
But it's, you have to earn it.
Yeah. I would like you to go back a little bit. You talked about knowing, defining the role. What do you say to the person who, let's say you picked father, who had a terrible father or an absent father? Or what do you say to the person who you say you got to define the role of being healthy, who had no healthy, they don't know that eating a whole bowl of mac and cheese is not healthy.
Sure.
Where would you go to develop that? How do you go and get something where you don't know? I have a friend. He's never met his dad. He doesn't know who his dad is.
Wow.
And so he was always worried about, he's got two awesome kids now, but he was always worried. How do I know how to be a dad? I've never seen that.
Right.
What's your thoughts on developing something that you don't have firsthand knowledge of? You haven't witnessed it. How do you go about getting that perspective?
Wow. That's, I'm fortunate enough to have grown up in a family with my mom and my dad and my brother. Everybody was connected. So I can't speak from a place of not having a father.
Right.
But I know that the things I haven't understood in my path to where I'm at today, there's either been someone in my life that I could turn to that I trusted to ask, right? Right. Ask good questions.
Right.
You kind of have to be vulnerable and put aside the fact that, man, I'm going to look like an idiot for asking this, but I guarantee you're not alone. You're not the only one who's had this question.
Yes.
And if you're lucky enough to be the first guy to ever ask this question, you should probably write it down because you're going to make a lot of money once you solve it.
Yeah, for sure. Right? I mean, that's huge. Yeah. Not being afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
That is
ask for help.
Yeah. And there's great podcasts you can listen to as well.
Tons. I'm on one right now.
Yeah. And there's the Priority Traffic podcast. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So my buddy, Ben and I, both firefighters full time. I met him through his girlfriend at the time. She's like, hey, you should meet my boyfriend. He loves to, be fit and be a firefighter and be, helpful. And I was like, hey, man, let's do a podcast. And he came over one day. We recorded it. It's nothing like it is today. But the first take was like, wow, we know we're onto something. And we basically just try to have this discussion about wellness on all topics. Nothing's off limits. We're catching momentum. We're getting our feet wet in the priority or the podcast world. And we just promote wellness in the fire service, but it transcends the fire service, I
For
think. I
sure.
think it's at a human level, it's all stuff that we can all practice. And we're learning so much every time we have an episode about the topic itself, because we try to do research. We try to make sure we're bringing, facts and applicable stuff to the audience. But it's just stuff that we don't get served to us. You kind of have to dig for. And that was my second opinion or my second suggestion. If you don't know where to turn on a topic, there's books everywhere. And I would recommend doing some internet research, but try not to read everything off the computer, right? Get a hard copy book. Make time to sit down and re-engage in reading, not only for the sake of your eyes tracking left and right, and that helps your brain, according to neurological and that type of practice or study, but it also makes you have to take time out of what you're doing to go sit somewhere and do the reading. But there's plenty of books out there on whatever topic it is you may have a question or two about. And you could probably find that person you trust, and they'll probably have a recommendation of one to three books that helped them with the same scenario.
Do you have that in your life? Maybe two or three books that have changed the way you think or improve, like opened your eyes to something that you had never thought about before?
Oh, gosh. To my right over here, I have a bookshelf full of stuff. And I have, I would say, three things that I read about that really helped me understand myself and lack of understanding of things. Any kind of book on emotional intelligence, Dave Goleman. There's a b bunch of research on it, and I think it's probably one of the things that is eventually going to be a stable training point in every firefighter's career. I want it to be. And on the side of this, I'm trying to build a program that introduces emotional intelligence to firefighters. It's key. We all use it, bits and pieces of it, but if you give it a name and you give it topics and an outline, it's a lot more concrete. And then there's a
What
book
was
called
the name?
Why We.
What was the name of the book? David Goldman.
So it's just emotional
Oh,
intelligence
that's what it's called. Most
by, I think it's Goleman
Gold.
was his last name.
Gotcha.
There's a handful, and he's one of the original, not the original, but one of the mainstream guys for emotional intelligence. And then there's a book called Why We Sleep, or and I love that book. I don't have the author offhand. That helped me a lot, to really say, hey man, you got to prioritize sleep. You're doing it every day, and if you do something every day really crappy, that's not good, right? So I was able to turn a switch on, and now sleep has become one of my biggest priorities every single day.
You mean you
And
turn the switch off, actually? Does
yeah,
that
actually you turn the lights off and turn off, disconnect. But I would say those two are really important. And then, I've read a lot of books on mindfulness lately.
What would you define as mindfulness? Because I think sometimes that seems a little like woo-woo, like
Sure.
spiritualism, and like I don't know, but it's real. It is a
Yeah.
it's a hard science, right? It's your
Yeah.
brain, the way it works, the way you perceive the world. How do you describe mindfulness, and how do you think how can we improve our mindfulness?
Oh gosh. So to describe mindfulness as a practice, it's kind of it's a moment to moment thing where currently you and I are involved in a discussion, and I heard you asking me this question, and I was, instead of thinking about something else, I was listening, actively listening to what you were asking me, and I was formulating an answer to this, not just to respond, to change the topic, or to tell you my story, but to answer it. So I was being mindful of what you were asking me, but also I'm being mindful now where I'm sitting up straight. I have my desk in front of me. I have the lights on. I'm very aware of what's in my environment, and I'm really just present right? And it's about being present in each moment as it floats. And this is super, like, I don't even know how you would describe it, but like time passing by every moment right now, time is flying by us, right? Second by second. And here we are having this conversation. So just being present to what's happening in front of you right now, being here now. There's a book by Eckhart, no, Tolle. I think it's Eckhart Tolle.
That sounds right.
But yeah, be here now. And it's about holding on to the present moment, not thinking about something you did earlier or worrying about the future, right? And I recommend that people train mindfulness when they brush their teeth,
How do
for
what do you
example.
mean? Yeah, go ahead.
So you wake up in the morning, don't be mindful until you get in front of the sink to brush your teeth. But let's say you brush your teeth for 2 minutes, like every American should, right? That's the recommended daily dose times two. 2 minutes a day, twice a day. Brush your teeth. So now I'm going to be mindful of that experience. I'm going to open my drawer slowly. I don't just throw the drawer open.
Right.
I'm going to choose the toothpaste I want. I've got two, but just because one's half empty and that's the new one, right? Put it on the thing. You're mindful about putting the cap back on. I thread the cap back on. I put it back in its place. It's kind of like a ritual. When you get into brushing your teeth, you're not thinking about what you're doing later. You're just standing there breathing. Maybe you turn the water off because you want to save the environment. And you brush each tooth, right? And you don't just spend time on one tooth, say, oh, this is my back molar. But you just engage in that process deeper than just like surface level,
Right.
brushing my teeth, putting a shoe sock on at the same time, right? You're focused on one event. You're not multitasking, you're monotasking, and you're feeling the bristles on your gums. You're feeling the sensation of that toothpaste going through your sinus cavities because you still have to breathe while you do this, right? You're trying not to make a giant toothpaste beard all over your chin, which I tend to do anyways. But that would be being mindful, like taking your time to be considerate of what you're doing in that exact moment and do it very well.
What does that get me? Why? Like, sell me. So, okay, I brushed my teeth
So,
and I
yeah.
focused on it and I spent some mindfulness minutes. How does that make me a better husband, father, leader?
So what that's going to do, that's going to carry over into your day, right? So now you get to, let's just talk about brushing your teeth again. So you're brushing your teeth, you're managing the moment with the utmost care. You're taking the time to brush your teeth good. And if you do that consistently, you're going to extend the life of your teeth, right? You're going to have good teeth, hopefully for a long time. We need our chompers
Right.
for as long as we can have. That doesn't mean we're always going to have our teeth,
No.
but for me, that small training ground in the bathroom while I'm brushing my teeth, I can go to work now and check out my air pack. And now I have an idea of what being mindful is. I can bring that mindfulness into checking my air pack because that's life safety stuff.
Right.
But to be a better dad, or that contributes, mindfulness contributes to being a better dad when your child comes up to you when you're on the phone and they're like, hey, daddy, daddy, let's play. And you're like, no, I got to do something. You could be mindful and say, you know what? I am on my phone, not doing anything. I can put my phone down and tend to my child and give her all of your mindfulness, right? It's kind of something we give away. It's attention.
Right.
It's how much attention are you going to give to that person or that object, right? And so now you're investing your time and your focus on your daughter. And not only is that making you a better dad because you'll start to do that more,
Right.
but your daughter's getting a piece of you that nobody else gets,
Right.
right?
That's all.
That's kind of how I think it carries over. And it's a practice. It's something that you have to choose to practice. So I practice it while I brush my teeth, while I do the dishes, while I work out, I'm very mindful of my breathing. You can sit down and meditate, and that's a whole nother thing
Right.
to practice. But there's a lot of opportunity to be mindful throughout the day
Gotcha.
with little things that show up all the time, driving,
Right.
putting your shoes on, right?
I think there's a saying that how you do the little things is how you do everything.
Sure.
And that makes sense to me that you would, and it's probably a muscle. You get used to doing it and you're not going to deadlift 500 pounds. You're going to deadlift the bar. you're going to add 10 pounds. And that makes a lot of sense to me. That's so be mindful. You do something else though. You travel around the country, right?
I do. Yes.
Tell me about what that is, like what you're doing with moving around and teaching fire. Is it just firefighters right now?
So currently I get picked. So I work with a company called O2X Human Performance.
Right.
And what happens is a municipality or a state or a fire department brings in the company O2X, and we have subject matter experts and two lead instructors, myself and another instructor. It's a company that was founded by three Navy SEALs. They determined at the end of their career that they did not have all of the equipment, not equipment, but training, the soft skills
right.
that they needed to stay well over their career in the military, right? So they said, what do we need? And they established a couple pillars, five of them, and they started bringing in subject matter experts to teach on each one of those pillars. And it's actually what we've talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
So they teach on the pillars, they bring subject matter experts from the field to talk. They don't just bring me or you to talk about sleep, nutrition, fitness, mindset, and resilience. They bring doctors from each of those fields to tell the audience and show and answer questions of generally firemen, but right. fire, police, first responders, and military, answer all of these wellness-based questions so they can put together some small changes, 1% change every day to start becoming the best version of themselves. And they will hire me to travel as a lead instructor to these workshops, and I'm typically chosen in fire service oriented workshops. Right. So I'm able to facilitate, if somebody says, go ahead.
You speak the language, you can translate.
Yeah. The cultural competence is there. Right. I can speak and relate to firemen. If I was a police officer and they're taking me to fire workshops, it probably wouldn't come across the same and I wouldn't be able to relate as much.
Right.
So I do that probably 3 or 4 times a year. I fly out. Some days it's a 4-day workshop. In beginning of August, I have a 2-day workshop. So that'll probably be a 3 days worth of travel. Traveling is hard, by the way. It's not easy. So my routines at home, I try to bring as much of the routine as I can with me to make sure I get what I need, which is going to be sleep, fitness, and hydration while I'm on the road.
That's awesome. So from what I hear you tell me, if I'm just starting at zero, I'm just trying to become a better person. I
yeah.
probably can do that one by starting to sleep more. That would be a place to start. And then nutrition wise, just doing the basics of drinking more water, eating real foods, things that don't come out of a box or a can, taking time to become more mindful and focused on right now what my priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything?
I would add to cover it all. And I know it sounds trite and it sounds like there's no way this could work, but being grateful, having an attitude of gratitude is probably one of the biggest things that has impacted me in the last seven or so years. It's not something I always had. It wasn't something I was very aware of to begin with, but once I adopted being able to be grateful for whatever it is I was going through, right? Even if it was a hard time, it wouldn't feel amazing, but I knew there was something in there that I could learn. I could find the golden nugget within the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's sometimes it's really hard to do when everything is turning up zeros.
Right.
But there's always a way to find something to be grateful for, no matter what it is. If you woke up today, I'm sorry if you have everything stacked against you, but at least you have an opportunity today to push back, mm-hmm. right? And I think being grateful for the big things, the small things, the subtle things, that is huge. And if you can build that into one of your practices, being grateful for your family, for your wife, for the moments you get to spend with them, If something happens to us, me and you being at work in a career we have, that's devastating to the people that are at home. But if you let them know how grateful you are for them and show them and with action and powerful meaning in your words, and your words match your actions, right? And your actions match your words, I think you can rest easy. Granted, that's hard to say, knowing that you left your family behind in a scenario that they know you love them. So gratitude, I think, is the sprinkle of magic on top of everything for me.
Wow, that's awesome. That's some deep stuff, and you're right. And that is hard to do.
It is hard. It's not, none of this is easy, right? And I was having a conversation with a friend the other day that you choose your heart, right? And that's not my quote, right? Somebody else, famous Tim Kennedy, probably said that, or somebody. But everything takes effort, right? Losing weight, gaining weight, it all takes effort. Everything takes effort. And you have to give effort all the time. It takes effort to get up on time. It takes effort to go to bed on time. It takes effort to chase those goals and to fulfill the roles and to become something more.
I think I heard someone say, "You know why it's hard? Because it's worth it." It makes sense. I mean, I could go look at cat videos on my phone, and that's not hard, and it's not worth it. I get no, my life is not better. It's just mind-numbing. But the things that are hard to get up and on a Saturday when you don't want to and go watch your kids play sports, that's hard, but it's worth it. As a 43-year-old man, I find that I'm sore when I wake up. I could be sore because I didn't work out or sore because I did work out.
You
Either
choose.
way, I'm going to be, a little creaky when I get moving around. Might as well be becoming better than worse. So that's awesome. Is there anything you would like to share before we wrap it up? Anything I
Oh,
didn't
man.
ask?
Well, I don't know that there's anything that I have specifically, but when it comes to being a better person, like, that's all subjective. What is better, right? It's not me versus you. It's not you versus anybody. It's you today versus the potential that you have for tomorrow. Today, everything before today doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is what I do with my next opportunity to change or to grow. If right now, whatever you're doing, if you get inspired to stand up and not grab a Coca-Cola but grab a water, you've just effectively changed your future forever. Now maybe that'll turn into a habit, and then maybe that grab of water turns into a walk outside for 5 minutes, followed by you picking up a small piece of trash, followed by you looking through the toolbox that you didn't look through earlier. So now, like, you're effectively shaping your future today with the small actions and decisions and choices and habits that show up all the time, right? So, if you want to change the world, start with yourself. If you want to change your future, start today.
That's awesome, Chris. That is awesome. Where can people get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
You can check me out on Instagram. We got Priority Traffic Podcast on Instagram, Facebook. We do have, I think, almost 18 episodes up on the YouTube, and I believe that might be the last video that we post. I think we're going audio only, just to allow us to get the content out, and not have to worry about overhead editing. I do like the video, but I think the audio is where it's at. And then, check us out, Priority Traffic Podcast on Instagram. Every week we're putting out, 3, 5, 7 tips on how to do some stuff that you're probably not thinking about, maybe a little bit different. There's a lot of cool content coming out, and we got a lot of interviews in store. We've been a little quiet the past 2 months. I've been training for some events, and my co-host Ben has been under the gun for some events too. So we just allowed ourselves to have some time to live, and expect to see some cool things in 2023, the summer of From Priority Traffic.
That's cool. So you didn't say it, but you said you're working on something. You're putting something together. When's that happening? That's gonna, I feel like that's, you've got a program or something in the can.
So we have something, and I don't want to let out a
But yeah, don't
lot.
give me all the secrets, but just like it's coming, right?
There's some stuff coming down the pipe, and I can say it has a lot to do with what we talked about today.
Well,
Yeah,
this has
buddy.
been the Earn Your Title Challenge. There's two things I ask. One, share it with someone you think would enjoy this, and two, put what you learned into action, and I'll see you later. Take care. See you, Chris.
See ya.